This is Garth Francis, songwriter and guitarist for the Doughboys. Welcome to part two of the Gripweeds podcast, The Making of Strange Change Machine. Tonight's installment will include more new songs from Strange Change Machine. Each band member will talk in depth about their experiences writing and recording this brand new stellar double album. This is the final installment, so let it rock!
Under a closer microscope, not so much in the writing, maybe a little bit, but in the arrangements and in the recordings, we went for a more focused and more satisfying recording that would be loaded with hooks and loaded with punch, and interest, things of interest. And if something is getting a little slow, section gets slow, cut it, If something's not feeling compelling enough, cut it, redo it, change it. That was our approach.
Here is a sample of the new songs on disc two of Strange Change Machine by the Gripweeds.
Just like the sun, into the light. There is a really great acoustic number. It's an instrumental that Rick wrote called Love in Transition. And he's been playing it for years, and we finally were like, you got to put that on the record. And so we decided to all chime in with our parts, and I decided it would probably work out. And so, yeah, it's got a really cool flute part. It's kind of jazzy Donovan feel, that jazzy, you know, kind of, I don't know, it's very different. It's really different sounding for us. Song of Rick's called Mr. X. It's a pretty fun song. When he brought it into the band, we just kind of thought, well, yeah, this doesn't really... He had a demo of it, and we said, this doesn't really sound like us, and we weren't quite sure about it, but we embraced it, and we worked on it, and Buster likes it. yeah, it's got kind of a wah-wah Manchester groovy thing going on.
It was a spontaneous jam at a party that I had in my New York apartment. I just started playing that. We had a bunch of guests coming over. I started playing it on acoustic, and just about the whole song came out with that beat. Not with the lyrics, but with that beat. The lyrics came later, and the lyrics are really interesting in that they're about somebody that, although not a friend of mine, is a friend of a friend, and this person threw himself into the Hudson River last summer in New York, killing himself, and that was the inspiration for the lyrics. And the final decision that he made, that he couldn't reverse, so that's the theme of the lyrics to Mr. X. I had demoed it, and initially, I think there was some resistance to the band, from the band, just because it didn't come up through the band. I demoed it and then brought it to the band, as opposed to, oh, here's a song, let's play it in rehearsal kind of thing. So maybe because it was, I wouldn't say it was, I mean, the band added a lot to it, really. The band's version is much preferable to the demo version. But the demo version had, it did have the Manchester beat in it. And maybe that is new for us. So, you know, sometimes newness needs to be absorbed by, you know, for me too. Like, you know, wow, we're doing a suite, you know. Sometimes you're like, I got to think about this for, not because I don't like the idea, but just because, wow, you know. And I think the same was with Mr. X. Like, wow, we're doing, like, this isn't our usual thing. But I think it was made into a track that really fits into the band's sound.
What have you done?
Speed of Life was inspired by a Swedish group called Dunyan. And I heard their, I don't know what song it was, because I can't pronounce them anyway, they're all in Swedish. So I heard their music, and again, it was like Fleet Foxes to me. It was like, we can do that in our own way, of course. But that's what music is all about, playing music anyway. You know, being inspired by other people's work to spur you on to do something of your own. Now, I don't think anybody listening to Speed of Life would say, oh, rip off of Dunyan. Because, number one, it's got a whole melody to it, and it's a real song, you know, and it's also about, it's got the whole Speed of Life concept being essentially the idea that time is speeding up, or, you know, the feeling that time's going by fast. And then in a blink of an eye, you're a teenager, and then you're old in a blink of an eye, you know, and just like how fast things are going by. And I had actually been talking again to Pat Denizio, the Smithereens. Interesting thing about this album, Strange Change Machine, is that it was recorded unlike the other albums we had done. You know, as I said earlier, we started in 2006 and then we got interrupted. Well, we kept getting interrupted because we had bands like the Smithereens and Third of Never and other things in the studio. And so I was working, we were doing those projects, and I was, not only was I doing those projects and being the engineer or the producer, but I was learning from each experience. And having an experience with the Smithereens, working very closely with each of them, and Pat Denizio as the songwriter, you know, I sort of got a lot of free tutelage in how to craft hit songs, really. How they did it, how we could do it. And they're not the only people we worked with. We worked with Najma Akhtar and Gary Lucas from Tim Buckley and Captain Beefheart. And so these were some people that have been around the block. They know how to craft songs, and, you know, they're at this professional level, you know. And I kind of was able to absorb those lessons, you know. And now, of course, I gave them my experience, my best, you know, I applied myself as best I could to their music and gave them the best I had, but I got a lot back in return. So Speed of Life was a conversation I had with Pat Denizio about, why do songs when you start out as a band, why are they always so fast in tempo? I was talking about Smithereen songs. You know, all your early songs are so fast, and you got into a kind of a low, you know, more mid-tempo or even slow tempo groove later on. And I said, why do you think that is? And he's like, well, I think it was just the Speed of Life, really. And I just sort of went, the light bulb just went off in my head. You know, not that I was going to, I just had a whole concept. I'd been to a high school reunion, you know, and just this flash-forwarding feel of almost like Rip Van Winkle. You know, you wake up one day, and like, hey, 10 years have gone by, and only I can't really, they don't feel like 10 years, it feels like 10 minutes, in a way. Of course, if you go back and you sort of look at all the things you did, you get the feeling of, yeah, a lot of time has gone by, but the actual experience of the time is so short. And so I wanted Speed of Life to have that feeling of hurtling through time, and, you know, that's why the song has the time changes and stuff. And it's based around a bit of, you know, the experience I had with the high school reunion and seeing people I hadn't seen, and, you know, and just relationship in general.
Coming into fire. with this album, of course, we developed as a band. Just my playing style, been able to incorporate more and more of those aspects into what I do and what I can do with the band.
Just some of my thoughts on Gripweed's albums in general. In a way that a Moody Blues album or a Beatles album can be like a head trip, like you can put on the phones and sit back and listen to the record, and it takes you all over the place musically and then back again. I always saw Gripweed's albums as being that way, and not just a collection of songs or a collection of potential songs to play live or songs to be whatever. I just always liked that idea from the very first Gripweed's album, House of Vibes. It was always the intention to showcase a variety of songs and take the listener on a trip. So this record is the culmination of that. It's the biggest, longest, most grandest trip of any Gripweed's record. So that's what it was designed to be.
Strange Change Machine started out as a second part to Sunshower. Sunshower being the, if you think about it like the weather, and the sunshower is in the beginning of the song, the sun is shining, and then you get a drizzle, and that's the sunshower, and it's raining and it's sunny, and it's a conflicting feeling of rain and sun and light and dark, light and shade. And I kind of wanted to picture, you know, I wanted that visual to come across musically, sonically. I think a lot visually, and that was one song that was very visual to me. And by the end of the song, you're into a rain, like a torrent of rain. And I wanted the Strange Change Machine originally to be the thunderstorm, violent, powerful thunderstorm. And that was the original thought to, visually to write it. But then it changed into, again, like a quintessential Gripweed song. I started thinking about stuff we had done early on. I'd written a song real early called Truth Behind the Lie, and it had these three-part harmonies in it. It's something that we like to do. We like to sing, you know, block harmonies. It kind of, it evokes the Birds and, you know, the Beatles and groups like that, even The Who, you know. And so I wanted to do that in the song. It just seemed to lend itself to a block harmony.
Doing a double album is a way for the Gripweeds to move forward, because there's an album's worth of material that could be seen as more or less the traditional classic Gripweed sound that our fans would like. And then there's a whole nother album of sort of a new direction that maybe other people who are looking for something else in the band would go for, and it may result in our audience becoming much larger, I hope.
This bite. Could you possibly mean by that? I'm just trying to think which one didn't. No. we worked on the cover, Hello, It's Me, and that came together very easily. There's a lot of harmonies and a lot of strange chords and things in that song, but that worked out pretty well. And also, I would say that Don't You Believe It probably clicked with the band as we played it. Rick brought it in and we recorded ourselves just playing it. He showed us the chords. I don't think there was a demo for that. And he showed us the chords and we all kind of really locked into it. And we have a video for that song too. It's pretty funny. I'll have to show it to you. And I would say this song that was pretty tough for us was Mr. X. We just didn't know if it was going to be the right thing for the band. We didn't know if it was going to work. So we didn't know what was going to happen. And we just decided to try it out. But I don't know if there was fist fights in that one, but it was a little rough going. Yeah, we're not walking away. I mean, you're not walking away. You know, I that was written by Rick and Ivy, and I think that, you know, they're very politically conscious people, and it's kind of what it was about, or kind of what it is about, is just taking responsibility for things that we're all looking for with our government and the political situation. A lot of people just seem to, they bitch and they moan, but I've always said, you know, Rick's good about those kind of things. He actually goes out and does stuff, goes to meetings and goes canvassing, and he does, you know, I don't know if that's exactly what the song is about, but it's just, I think it's just taking responsibility for stuff in your life.
Different this time, got a mountain to climb on the road that unwinds, and I know it's not easy.
I got no time to pray.
You're not walking away.
here now is something that not everybody should do. You live in the moment, basically. I've been a little preoccupied with time on this record. There's, you know, speed of life and maybe another one, but this one has to do with living in the moment and being here now. But it's also, I thought it was kind of an interesting play on words of be here with me now, you know, like a relationship. So it's kind of like be with me now, but also to someone to live in the present and live in the moment, you know. And in the lyrics, it's kind of like the past is gone, or the past doesn't exist, the future we don't know about. All you have is now, so you may as well be here.
Raga, as I said, was Rick and Kurt wanted to put that in to kind of throw flow throughout the album. Well, no, we planned to do it, but we hadn't. Rick had a couple riffs that he had been working on, and we had thrown around a few times, but it was pretty much off the cuff, and we just made sure we had a good recording setup and everything was turned on and ready to go, and we just recorded what came out.
That was fun, because what happened in that song is what happens on stage. You have to react to what the other musicians are doing, and we were in the studio, we were headphones on, and you could actually hear what everybody was doing. It was a good mix in the headphone, so you could pick up on what was, you know, happening in the rhythm section, or what Rick was doing. Kristen would play a line, and you can actually follow that on the song itself, where Rick would pick up a lick and I would pick it up a few seconds later, and then Kristen would join in and Kurt would anticipate, and then there's building. So the improv part of it was, to me, that jam is good, because there's true interaction. That's the closest thing to Gripweeds will get to jazz, but it's a true improv, and people working off of each other. Again, the chord structure was fine, we knew what that was, and we were able to explore. And like I did, there's one part in that song that I know that I really went up high at one point, and everybody followed a little bit. So it's a good musical conversation. I enjoyed recording.
You know, it's hard to predict what we're going to do in the future, because we couldn't have predicted this record from the last one. It'll be interesting to see what this record does to us, what it does for us and what it does to us as we start playing it live. You know, a lot of the songs have been going over really well live, so that's very encouraging.
Thank you for listening to the Gripweeds podcast, the making of Strange Change Machine. My name is Gar Francis, and I highly recommend you take a closer listen to Strange Change Machine. Go to gripweeds.com for more information on Strange Change Machine and the other Gripweeds classics. A special thanks to John Dawson for conducting interviews and editing this podcast. From the House of Vibes in Highland Park, New Jersey, thank you, and see you at the next show.
What did you say, Kurt?
Said, don't be dumb. Let's see what you got.
I hate the Gripweeds.
I'm
sick of those guys. Oh my.
End quote.
God. No. Do you hope to achieve better recognition from the music industry with this album, or are you only content with your relationship with the music?
The music industry. All right, bud. All right, thanks a lot, man. Talk to you later. All right, bye. What a dick. No, he's great.
Now I'm going to ask you the questions.
Oh, you're going to ask me questions. Talking to the camera. Okay. Hi, camera.
Lean back a little bit.
Okay. Overexposed. I'm not naked. Mike Kelly for Dos Equis.
Great! Yeah. Oh, look! Look at it! This is wild! Look at this thing!
Wow! It's cracking up!
I see it going on the corner there.
Me too!
Oh yeah, it's going.
I see it!
There it goes! It's beginning to change into some kind of thing.
You like this, Ricky?
Yeah.
The Gripweeds, Strange Change Machine. 5 years in the making, the Gripweeds morph into a new phase of their musical evolution. They are the creators of strange new sounds, far out chord changes. The Gripweeds groove with the precision of a machine. A strange change machine. Switch it on. Dial it in. Turn it up. Strange change machine. From Rainbow Quartz.